forgot I'm not on that slide deck. I want to let you know that you'll see in a lot of slides like this today, but unfortunately mine's going to be a little bit more classic as a developer talk here. A lot more bullet points. So there are four big areas I want to talk to today, but obviously I want to leave time for questions and dig into all the details that we possibly can. First piece is talking about workflow and apps, kind of how they fit together, how you can use workflow not as part of an app, but more specifically how they fit together and why it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to walk you through a couple of workflow apps that we've created just to demonstrate the features for the conference and explain a little bit about why it makes sense the way we developed workflow as part of the whole app ecosystem. I want to talk about our unlocked APIs. That's how I'm referring to our new OM. We have a new OM that's much more transparent and lets you do a lot more with workflow than what you used to be able to do in previous releases. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about how the new workflow platform lets you connect beyond your app and connect into other web services. So let's talk about workflow and apps first. And I'll begin talking about workflow and apps with a couple of the slides that most of you have probably already seen at other developer sessions. This is just talking about the new cloud app model. So in Office 2013, we have a whole new cloud app model. I hope everyone's familiar with it. Definitely read up on it if somehow you ended up here and you're not familiar with it. But the idea is that you can build new, cloud-hosted, standards-based web applications that run SharePoint or on the Office client. Obviously, workflows will all be part of SharePoint apps, not as part of Office client apps. But I will talk a little bit about how you can use Office client apps scenarios to loop in workflow. You know, this new app model, it's all around using familiar tool sets. Tools like Expressions Designer, for example, or any other professional tool like the one we showed at the keynote that everyone said had bugs, but I think was doing fine. And then finally, this new app model has a very flexible lifecycle. So the idea is that you can deploy it without using the store, but if you have an app, you deploy it to the store, you have a lot of central control over that app, you can centrally update it, you have a great marketplace to reach out to a lot of customers, you have a lot of control over how you charge, subscriptions, headcounts, all that good stuff. So there's all this goodness in this new app model, and Workflow was really eager to jump on board. Now let's talk a little bit about app hosting. So apps, in general, they're these packages that run in the client in SharePoint. But app hosting is a little bit more complicated. So there are two variations. There's one, these cloud-hosted apps that live out somewhere in some service, and then there are SharePoint-hosted apps, which are just part of the SharePoint site itself. I'll tease out cloud-hosted apps a little bit here. So one is the provider-hosted app, and that's where you say, I already have a web service, I already have a web app online in Azure or any other service, and I just want to connect SharePoint to that data and have that be able to call back into SharePoint. That's the provider-hosted model. Auto-hosted model is where you deploy something to SharePoint, and SharePoint says, let me take care of the service provisioning for you. They set something up in Azure, create the trust relationship, it calls back. All of this was in the keynote again. And finally, these SharePoint-hosted apps, and they're a little bit more simple. They're really it's fast off the ground. You can reuse a lot of your existing JavaScript applications or any CSOM, JSOM things you've built before. They're just HTML, JavaScript, CSS, but they have the ability to run a bunch of logic that isn't SharePoint logic and interact with SharePoint data. So that's app hosting. Now, the one thing I'll tell you, and there's a slide on this later, but workflow is working on all of these scenarios. I just want you to know that up front. But one question, and I think it's a fair question, is really why would you want workflow to be part of apps, or why do apps need workflow? And I don't want to spend too much time on this slide because you can really go for a while digging into scenarios. But one is just the kind of classic workflow human way of work. If you think about social marketing scenario is one that we know is really popular and we've demoed at some conferences before. You could just imagine a list where people can propose new comments they want to make in their social networks. So suppose you're a small business and you have a Facebook page, you want to be able to post something to that page, but you use Office 365 to manage your company, your business, your inventory, all that stuff. You could make a really easy workflow app that adds a list, has some approval on that, you know, if someone makes a new suggestion, you think it's a great idea, you could approve that a task for that new post. The workflow could automatically call out to the external service, post it to Facebook, and I just did everything integrating with a social network from within Office 365. So think of a scenario like that. Also, your classic automating and improving business process scenarios. So I have a help desk. I want to have the ability to automatically create tickets, send emails, send SMS as alerts. Different priorities, different responses for each of those priorities. Workflow is a really easy way for you to take the SharePoint content, build a lot of custom logic on top of it, drive that process, and also to collect data on those running processes and find ways to improve them over time. Long-running processes are one of the ways that workflows can really help, because you could look at the first two and some people might say, well, I could write custom logic to do those things. But long-running processes are much more tricky to have something go to sleep, wake up after a long time, and workflow just out of the box is designed so that you can have really long-running processes like some sort of legal matter or content hold situation where you could just say, you know, I can't delete this thing, I want to keep it on the server, but remind me in 2 years, you know, remind me in 6 months that this thing is locked and check again if it still needs to be that way. And workflow is really good at going to sleep and waking up a long time later. So that's what long-running processes are definitely a way where we have a huge advantage with workflow, and it's always available to everyone to leverage. And then finally, as I discussed before, this connecting to other enterprise systems. So, you know, imagine a time card system where you have interaction between SAP and SharePoint site, but people make requests to go on vacation on the SharePoint site, but then it kicks off and runs and integrates with SAP, and the workflow a workflow can run there, finish off, call back into SharePoint, a workflow can run there. There's a lot of integration that's going on, and with our new platform and all the web services support, there's a whole new set of connection-based scenarios that open up. Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about details of development stuff. So back to the notion that SharePoint is connected to all kinds of apps. So if we look at SharePoint-hosted apps, there are the app web, the parent web, in a relationship together. App can call into the parent as whatever its trust has been granted. Really easy to make. Very, very isolated. You don't have to worry about any multi-tenancy, multi-site, anything like that. They're just really closely related. And in this case, you can just leverage workflow as a middle tier to run additional logic for you. So workflow knows how to create tasks, send emails, go to sleep, call other web services. So if you build one of these SharePoint-hosted apps, you can use our new object model to call into the workflow object model from JavaScript for any SharePoint app and have workflow do a bunch of things for you and interact with your data. And you could still do it as a SharePoint-hosted app. You didn't have to write any custom code. You didn't have to provision a new service in the cloud or anything. It was all just, it's all in SharePoint. But when you talk about cloud-hosted apps, they basically just add a little bit more to the story. But in all cases, you're always going to have workflow running in SharePoint and available to you as a service. So you can see that you could have the external app calling into SharePoint, calling into Workflow OM, potentially. You could have workflow calling back into that service directly. And I'll actually have an example later of a custom event, one of the new pieces of our platform, where it makes a lot of sense to think about how external sources can send custom events into SharePoint to trigger activities in a workflow that you can never do in the 2010 release or anything prior. So, now I'm going to start the walkthrough, and this is where we'll be, unfortunately, shifting into some screenshots. But I'll give you the first overview. And this is like for a workflow for a speaker series, something like what we've been doing here at SharePoint Conference. So we have this very simple scenario, just this workflow that says, hey, we need to ask everybody what kind of talks they can give at SharePoint Conference so we can decide which ones are the best, schedule them, and make them work. And it's a really basic flow. It's something along the lines of, if someone makes a submission, you wait for someone to approve it. If they don't approve it, it's just rejected. It goes away forever. If they do approve it, then whoever submitted that idea, go have them create the deck, confirm that the deck was created, you know, upload it, and then the process moves on. Very, very simple process, but just, you know, a classic kind of workflow. Now, this is an app, so, you know, I have a little breakdown here of the stuff that's in this. We add some lists in this, and we have some custom pages. We add the workflows, obviously. And the workflows have a few simple behaviors. They interact with list items, update them, read them, create tasks, track tasks, and cancel them as necessary, send emails. So let's take a look at what Visual Studio looks like. So here's Visual Studio. Imagine if it was alive and running and I could interact with it. So there are some things here worth noting. So here are the new Visual Studio tools for workflow in 2012. They're really great tools. I'll show some details on this, but hopefully later on we can dig in and show it to you live. But you know, here's my designer, and this is the new flowchart type of workflow. And you can see that same flow that I just described there. I mean, it looks exactly as the way you would model it in Visio or any other designer. And you know, here's over here, here's my classic SharePoint solution. I've got my lists. I got the new workflows. There are a couple of workflows in this project. We'll get to that later. The task and history list to drive the workflow. There are also a custom action that we'll get to later. Now, I want to drill in some on this. So I want to show this Git workflow context. I'll drill in on the sequence. And you can see here, I'm drilling in. There's more detail on what that first sequence was, that Git workflow context. And what this does is it just fetches a bunch of information from the current workflow context to prep the workflow, prep its variables. And there's, let's look at one of the details of an activity, lookup SP list item. So let's look up SP list item. You can see here, here's the property panel. Where I can dig in and configure what this thing is doing, where it outputs to. Now here, you'll see that this outputs to idea item properties. And I want to show you some details about this DV. So if I view properties here, you can see that that lookup SP list item was an activity that returned a collection of properties. And this digs into all of the details there and sets things up for it. And one thing I want to point out is that all of these properties that come out when you're creating and interacting with these DVs, property collections, I'll say, they can take expressions here. So right now, they're just a bunch of constant strings, but you could imagine doing expressions like, oh, make the end time today plus some amount of time, or make it this string plus some other string. And we'll see a small example of that later. But this is where you can see that with the new model and the ability to run expressions in the workflows, and again, it's all declarative. This is all XAML. You can do a lot more powerful things on-prem in the cloud through Visual Studio that you never could do before. Now, there's another thing I want to show in this particular project, which is that we've created a custom task outcome. So this is a feature that we've had before, but it's the ability to say, like, hey, for some type of task I have, I don't just want to approve or reject. It's just not your common approval task. I want it to be something that's special. And in this case, it was that second task for the content creator. We want to have an ability for them to say that it was created and completed. So this is this new task. I just wanted to point out in the XML there. We do have a new column. It's a new custom type. We have a content type right here that we also include in the project. And so when this gets all bundled up together and creates the new content in SharePoint, it adds this content type to the task list so you can have this special task. Okay. So building, this is the one part that'll be way faster with this type of demo. So I build my solution here, and you can see that there's a very Spartan SharePoint app, but it's running. And you can see that even in the demo, this is running in an isolated domain. This is all built on premises because I do some workflow debugging. But you will be able to do this same type of development for Office 365. Now, here's my basic app. I've got my ideas list where people make the proposals, the calendar that once the proposal is approved, it creates a calendar item. I'm not going to dig into that. And then, obviously, the tasks that are created as part of this process. So we go to the ideas list. Okay, list, nothing exciting. I'm going to create a new item. Workflow development with Visual Studio. I'm going to be the speaker, and it's right now. Great. So I create this item, and here's my item in my list in my SharePoint app. You can see that the workflow says it's evaluating. So that's good. Sounds like the workflow is waiting. And we know that there's a task waiting for someone right now. It's waiting for our planner, Chetan. And so Chetan says, hey, oh, look, I need to review this session. There's a new task for me. So he opens that up, and he sees it. Not a lot of detail on this, but you could imagine this could be all fleshed out, have preview of what my proposal was, the title of it, all that, all those goodies. But let's just say that Chetan's really happy that someone just submitted an idea at all. So he says, yeah, great, I'm going to approve that. And notice he just sees approved and rejected. So he approves it, great, says idea accepted. So he moved through that first step, it's accepted, now there's going to be some new work for me to do. Now if you go to the other task that was created for me, you'll see that there's a task that says upload your slides. Well, I already had my slides done. Great. I was really pumped about this in the first place. So it's all good, ready to go. So I'm just going to say, yeah, it's completed using my new custom button, new custom outcome. And I complete it. Here's the workflow status page for what just happened. You can see that my workflow ran. It's completed. The idea was implemented. There are two tasks that were both completed. Everything's good. Great. So that's our very basic speaker series workflow with using a flowchart. Now, let's make it a little bit more interesting, and let's take into account the notion that there are executives and other people above us in the hierarchy that sometimes say, I want this done right now. So in this case, we're going to take that same flow, but we're going to move away from flowchart, and we're going to use a state machine. So many of you are going to be familiar with state machine workflows. Many, many people, when they developed code workflows in 2010, used state machine as their mechanism. There's a lot of flexibility with state machine. It's different from flowchart, but you can do the same things. But let's just talk about why we're using state machine in this case. So in this case, all the logic that we talked about before is the same, but there's one change here, which is that when the idea is in review, there's the ability for someone to bypass all of the process and wait for someone else to approve it, and they can just click a button and say, I want it approved right now. Move it to the person, make them make that deck. So what's different between this one and the last one? Well, all the content's the same. Even the logic is practically the same. The only thing different is that we've changed the workflow so that it now has a state machine, and the state machine waits for a particular event. This bypass event. And then we've added to the SharePoint project a new custom action that lets you send a message to the workflow that says, hey, someone said to bypass that approval step. Okay? So let's get to that. Okay, so here's my new, my different workflow, I should say. It's the same solution, but just a different workflow here. And you can see the same flow we were just looking at, and you can see this shortcut here where it transitions from the under review state to the accepted state based on a bypass. Now, what's in here that we really need to dig into? Well, first is there's this custom action. And this is your kind of classic SharePoint custom action, part of the workflow solution, part of a workflow app here. And it just has a URL action to a link, and it's connected to the item. So someone goes to the list view, they pick the item and say, bypass, go straight to the approval for demo purposes. And then obviously here's this page, which is that bypass approval page that the custom action refers to. And you'll see here that there's a bunch of JavaScript. And there's a whole lot of JavaScript that I could potentially show you around interacting with the new workflow object model. But in this case, it's a fairly simple function here that you look at where we get the client context, we get the workflow services manager. I'll talk about some of this stuff later. We get the service that knows how to talk to instances. We grab the instance that we just started that was running. And then here we call this message, which is to publish a custom event. So we're using object model I don't have to add an item to SharePoint. I didn't have to update an item in SharePoint. I didn't have to depend upon some event in SharePoint to trigger an action. I custom coded and cut into the workflow and into my own application an event that should pass through directly to the workflow and make it do something. And that's what this is calling right here, publish custom event. And again, it's cut off here in the screenshot, but the message we send is called bypass. So we're back here. Now I'm creating a new idea, but this time I'm doing workflow development with Visual Studio, but I'm talking about state machine workflows. same time. And it adds the idea to the list, and then imagine right now that it's some executive that comes along and is like, this is the greatest idea, we absolutely need to do this, I don't care what planning and marketing thinks, approve it. So he drops this down and he sees this bypass approval UI and he says, fantastic. He clicks it, takes it to this page, and then, you know, we're always cautious. Are you sure you want to bypass? Of course. So we bypass here. And in this case, I just go straight to the workflow status because I want to show that the workflow is still running in this case because all I did was the bypass step. But it went straight to the accepted stage, as we would expect, and moved forward. And that task around approving the idea, it's not even there anymore because workflow said, oh, I don't need that task. Just cancel it, get rid of it, and move on to the next one and tell Tim to go create those slides, get that deck ready. So that was, those are just the two walkthroughs of a little taste of the Visual Studio stuff and what's new. But I also want to talk about our new APIs and some scenarios here. Because just building the workflow, that's part of the story. That's part of why the new tools and the new workflow platform, all the features of workflow 4.5 you get with the flowcharts, state machine, all the new XAML stuff, that's fantastic. And I know everybody's excited about that. But another part of this platform is that we made it like a service. Workflow is a service now. So it's something that always exists that you can always leverage to do stuff for you. And so to do that, we created a whole new object model that was really focused and organized around the way you would use a service instead of the way it was before where in classic workflow, all the OM is kind of wrapped around existing SharePoint objects. It's on the SP list, it's on the SP item, on the SP site. And you have to poke around to find it related to the SharePoint stuff. In this case, the new object model is very much focused on, I'm going to ask SharePoint to do something for me, and I want it to act on this thing. So it's a very different kind of model, but it opens up a lot more power for everyone. So that's why I want to talk about the new APIs here. And there are a bunch of scenarios here that I'll just talk about briefly. So one is like an alternate workflow UI. And at one level, you could say, oh, alternate workflow UI, do you mean like the initiation forms or the association forms? Do you mean new task forms? Sure. I mean all of those things. You could completely rewrite every single page that we have in the SharePoint UI using JavaScript and HTML and CSS. Because all we do is call into our object model, our client-side object model, and that's how it runs the entire system for workflow 4.5 in 2013. Now, that's one way of thinking about it. There's another way to think about it, which is, how could I program entirely new workflow experiences? Now, Jim Mason was giving a presentation from the content management side, and there's an Office app. This is what I mentioned earlier, how we get to Office apps. There's an Office app we've built that uses workflow. And in that case, I'm just in an Office client. I'm using Word. I'm using this Teamwork app. And it's got a task pane, and it has a list of tasks for people to do. And it's got a little box to like add a new task for someone. And the idea is that there's a really simple way for a document, I want to store a bunch of tasks and actions going on. Well, that whole Office app is built using JavaScript object model against the new workflow APIs. And what you're doing when you're using that app and you're adding tasks is it's starting workflows that go off, that run, that create tasks, wait for those tasks to be completed, send emails to users. All that stuff is happening driven by the workflow engine, but the user experience all happens inside of Word. So that's another way we want you to think about how alternate workflow UI is also about pivoting the way you think about how you're using workflow. And that it's a service and it's an engine that drives your processes, but you can integrate them in a transparent way into any other application you build. So there are other scenarios that have been really popular with customers, mobile workflow experiences. So in 2010, we had a lot of customers who were like, hey, I really want to get my customers using workflow on their cell phone, but I don't know how to get those tasks to show up and I don't know how to get them approved. With the new set of OM that we're providing, it should be much, much easier for people to write code in apps on any device that finds workflows, finds associations, finds instances, and lets users interact with them or the tasks. It's very, very simple. So management of workflow to align with apps. The idea here is that since we expose all the OM, that includes things like saving workflows, deploying new workflows, publishing new associations, all that stuff. And so if I build a new app and I want to integrate that app with workflow, then I can write my app in such a way that the app actually provisions things in real time for the purposes of that app. So let's say I install an app. Let's say I configure it. And as part of the configuration step, I want to customize the actual workflow itself. Like, I want to change the XAML. I could actually construct a XAML string after the fact, after I install my app, create the XAML, put it together, and then publish it as part of the app and run it in like a custom way and totally dynamically. So all our new object model really lets you go crazy with the stuff you want to do with the workflow. And then finally, just you can build whole new tools and designers. Like, you could SharePoint Designer uses all of our client-side object model. That's basically the way they run. Aside from packages, it's essentially the way they run. So there are a bunch of pieces where you can build new experiences, alternative experiences, again, integrated with app experiences, where it does all of the stuff that a designer could do, but you build it in JavaScript and HTML. You build it in SharePoint. So these are all the things we're opening up. And I'll just point out so everyone knows that in all cases, when I talk about this OM, it's available in essentially all of the flavors. So any client object model, whether it's CSOM, the assemblies, .NET assemblies or Silverlight assemblies, JSOM, the JavaScript libraries, or using the new REST APIs. Workflow is waiting at all of those endpoints for you to control it. So I'm not going to go nuts getting into the details of the object model, but I'll just give the high level, because this is the part that's really important. This is how it's different from what we did previous releases. So this time, when you want to talk to workflow, you talk to the workflow services manager. And basically the way you do that is you just say, hey, I want a new workflow services manager bound to this site, SPWeb. And it'll create the manager, and then the manager says, like, well, what kind of stuff do you want to do? And there's a bunch of things it can do. So there's a deployment service underneath that. So you can say, hey, I want to do deployment stuff. Give me that. A deployment service includes things like saving definitions, publishing definitions, changing definition properties, and validating XAML, things like that. The instance service is all about the running instances. So it says, maybe you want to send an event, obviously, to a currently running workflow. So I say, oh, I need to go find an instance and send it event. That's the service you'd use. There's a subscription service, and that's all about controlling the associations. But it's also about creating the rules that end up going out into the Azure host, into the workflow manager. It's a little bit lower level for some of the things. But the idea is, just at a high level, if you think about classic workflow, it's the way you can build associations. And I will say that this release, the way you build associations, I don't know that we talk a lot about it in our presentations. I'm happy to answer questions. But it's a lot more flexible this time, the way you create an event and what can listen for that event. It's not as rigid as it was before. There's a messaging service, and that's the infrastructure that handles how we send out messages from SharePoint and from apps to get out to reach the workflow. And then finally, there's an interop service, and that's the piece that handles kicking off the classic 2010 workflows from a new workflow. And this is obviously a very important scenario. If you have an on-premises solution where you have custom code workflows, it's really hard for you to rewrite that, or you don't have the time. And there are places where you just need to leverage the classic engine. Interop makes sure that you can do that transition without having to stay in 2010. It lets you build, use the new tools, use new services, new object model in the 2013 platform, but then call in for some tasks using the interop service. Now, I'm just going to give a quick example with some actual code. And hopefully this will be helpful later when people look at decks and copy-paste and all that stuff. I'll caveat by saying that I don't have the prep stuff here. I don't show all of the code that surrounds this project, but I do have the code and the solution that we can look at later. But the idea is, assume that we already have a project that's set up that has a client context in SharePoint, and I want to start interacting with that client context. So in this case, let's say that I wrote the scenario. The way this kind of works is I built a new designer tool, And let's say I just built a new XAML in my custom designer tool, and I want to make sure that the XAML is valid. Okay? So the first thing I do here is I call into my orange. We're only doing orange and green. I call into my orange, I get the workflow services manager, just like I mentioned before. So this is a JavaScript object model. You can see, go request the object, load it, run the query. Then that chains forward, and it says, oh, okay, but I need a workflow deployment service now. So we say, okay, let's initialize a workflow deployment service. And again, we ask the manager, hey, get me the deployment service, load it up, and run it. And then the next call we say is like, oh, well, let's go validate this one workflow definition. Okay? So this validate workflow definition call is it just basically takes the XAML I created and it calls into the deployment service that I just created and it says validate. So that'll call out and get a result. Now let's say I got my new XAML from my designer tool, I went and validated it, it worked great. So now I want to save it because I know this is a good definition, it's something good to use. Maybe I don't want to publish it yet, but I definitely want to save it. So again, I go to my deployment service and I just say, okay, well I need to create a new definition object in SharePoint. Here's the XAML that I just validated right here. I want to set it onto that new definition object I created. Here's where I set its display name, so it shows up in the SharePoint UI, and then I save it. And so in that case, you know, just using a little bit of JavaScript, I took a string blob, XAML, I saved it to a new definition in SharePoint. Now when I'm using SharePoint UI, it'll say, oh, look, there's a new workflow there. One last blob here, and this is to kind of reiterate the value for a designer tool. It's like we even expose the get designer actions function, so someone can just say, well, what... You know, if I want to make sure that I'm building XAML that's going to validate and that has all the functions I need, let me just go ask SharePoint, like, what do you support? So we have an API that will return back and say, oh, here are all the activities and actions available to you. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about more connected workflows. So again, we'll be doing another little screenshot demo. But in this case, I just want to give a really simple example of, like, let's say we have people just want to know, they're just looking for movies for some kind of morale event, something like that. And they just can't remember a particular detail, something like that. So we want to implement them a search. So we want a really easy way for someone to just say, like, hey, you can go to this list, and if you search, you can go search for movie titles using SharePoint. It's not a very natural solution, but it's a great way to use external web services. So in this case, it's a very simple flow. It literally is just kind of fire and forget is the way we call these. Like, I start a workflow, it does something, finishes. In this case, what it does, the doing is asking Netflix about movies that have this title, and then updating the item you just created to say, oh, here you go, here are some suggestions based on what you're searching for. As a very, you know, classic SharePoint structure, the project, the list, custom pages. This one doesn't have custom pages, workflows. It does read and write, call out a web service. So in this case, here's our really simple kind of Netflix search workflow. You can see it's a standard flowchart. First thing it does is just grab that keyword, search for it. Then it goes and asks Netflix about it and writes it back to SharePoint. Now, if you go into the top movies sequence in that workflow, you'll see here where we have a really basic thing that does, it only wants to get three of them, that's fine. And this here is where we have the HTTP GET activity, where we're calling out to Netflix. And you can see here in the property panel where this is the UR that we pass into the argument. And then we see here that the output it's writing to is a video DV. So again, this property collection that comes from the response of the web service parsed out of the JSON, OData in this case. And this just shows, like, hey, look, we're calling out to Netflix's OData service. Just wanted to show the details there for the project. Now, I hit F5, I publish it, I'm on my dev site, and I want to try this out. So let's go to this movies list, create a new item. So I really like The Dark Knight, So I figured for the purposes of this demo and for the purposes of a screenshot where I can't ask you for information to search for live, I would search for night. So I search for that, click save. Now one thing I snuck in there, just because I wanted to also show the value of the tool set, was that in that earlier slide, you'll notice that I actually had a breakpoint on that workflow. And I'm running this on a debug environment. So when I click that save, it saved back to SharePoint. SharePoint triggered an event. It was not a start workflow. It kicked off. The workflow ran and got to that breakpoint and said, oh, wait, tell the developer. So here I am. Stopped on the assigned block, which is just for the purposes of demonstration. But you can see here that I got all my goodies. I got variables and arguments that I'm watching. I've got locals if I need to see them, current call stack. Like, it's all there. I'm debugging my workflow. But in the purposes of, for the purposes of this demo, I just continue on because I want to see that it succeeded. I want to make sure it worked. So I go back to that list where it ran. Well, I passed in night, and what are the first three, what are the movies it gives back? Not very great movies. Certainly not The Dark Knight in this choice. But it definitely did call out to Netflix. It definitely did get service response and updated SharePoint with it. And again, just a very simple, declarative, fire and forget workflow. There's something else I want to show here. This is the workflow test service host. This is the application that runs on your debug box when you want to be developing and debugging workflows. And it's the one that's always kind of running these workflows on your behalf. Because the idea is that if you want to do debug development and you're in Office 365, it's a little tricky for us to give you access to that Azure box where workflow is running. Because you got to get through SharePoint, we got to get through a firewall between SharePoint and Azure. So workflow is running pretty far away from you. But on your developer box, workflow is running right there. So when you're in an on-premises development scenario, you can always leverage this debug experience with this test service host. And while you're running workflows, you can write out in real time to this debug screen to see what's going on, in addition to the integrated breakpoint debugging with Visual Studio. In this case here, you can just see that right after I ran that, it showed the most recent runs of workflow instances. It's giving details about them. Here you can see where it's writing out the response we got from Netflix, the raw response. And then here you can see where in our workflow we had specifically written out the cleaned up, parsed out version of that response, which you can actually see here in the workflow where we took that DV property collection and did a write line just in the workflow. So for everybody that's developing workflows, when you're trying to figure out, what's the right logic for my workflow? How is this going to move forward? Is the web service giving me the right response? When you're in your development environment, you have totally integrated SharePoint, Visual Studio, Workflow Manager debugging. And it's really smooth, really, really valuable. So, we are already to the summary. So what I don't want to talk about, I want to talk again about those workflows and apps and how they fit together. I hope it makes sense, and if it's not clear about how it is that workflow fits in with the whole app model, please come talk to me. We're really excited about how workflow as a service can just become kind of a contribution and a companion to everything you do in any of your apps. So we were talking about, I gave you those walkthroughs, and what I was really showing there is like it's all about this better tooling and more expressive workflows. The idea that I can now use flowcharts and I can use state machines to really design and build flows that make a lot of sense and do everything I need them to, and that can call all of the kind of custom new activities and custom expressions that I need to accomplish my workflow scenarios. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the new OM opens up new scenarios and opportunities for everyone so that you can now really integrate workflow with your apps, not just in the sense that they're packaged together, not just because I had it as a bundle and I pressed F5 or because I put it in the solutions gallery and the workflow showed up with it, but because the app itself has the ability to always call into workflow and control it. And then finally, I just wanted to reiterate this point. We also spoke about it earlier today. And even in the keynote, Guthrie showed that workflow is connected. It can call out to other services and do cool things. Now, thank you. But more importantly, I wanted to squeeze in some things. There are related sessions. One that already happened. That was a Mauricio session. And I'm sorry that not everyone was able to make it into that one. But there are a couple more sessions. One is later this afternoon around designing workflows with SharePoint Designer and Visio. And one is tomorrow around creating custom activities and actions. This is good stuff. And I'm sure that's actually something that a lot of people are wondering about. It's actually one of the questions that I have that I'm very... that I was ready with, which is like, well, what about custom activities? I'm sure there are other questions that people have, and I want to leave you lots of time to ask questions. And while you work on the questions, I'm going to work on connecting to a different machine where I have the Visual Studio projects open so we can tinker around in Visual Studio. Questions?
Just so you know, the screens aren't synchronized. They're flashing.
We're going to get it.
You probably don't see it.
Okay. Yeah. Since, for how long?
What's that?
Just for like the last few slides?
Just the last slide. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's on 3 right now. Yeah. Yes. So the question was about, even if I have an auto-hosted app, can I really use workflow? And so basically the way it works is workflow is always available as a SharePoint service, and all workflows, this was in the keynote, all workflows are provisioned through SharePoint, much like auto-hosted apps are always. Correct. All workflows in the new engine you give to SharePoint, and SharePoint sets up for you in Azure. Now, if you're on an on-premises solution, then you've set up your own workflow manager. There's still a relationship between workflow manager and SharePoint. And it's different. In this case, the idea is that SharePoint and the Azure workflow manager are always connected. In SPO, we've already done it for you. On-premises, you just set it up yourself. You set up the workflow server. But every time you build a workflow or provision a workflow, you give it to SharePoint, and then SharePoint passes it to the workflow manager. Now, the reason it's interesting is because you have an app package. App package has a bunch of stuff in it. It's got pages. Some of those goes into SharePoint. Some of those go out to Azure, potentially. Workflows always go to the Azure workflow manager. Always. Do you need a license for the... The workflow manager is available today off the web platform installer for free. So if you run in web platform installer, for this demo, you need workflow. Well, if it's all a single box, you want the workflow manager. You want the client, because there's a client that lets SharePoint talk. It's the one that talks to Azure. And then there's the tools for Visual Studio. So you want to get those three things. We have documentation on setting up. Sorry? I don't know. I don't see you. I don't see that Jürgen's still here. But here, Jürgen. Did you guys officially release those yet? Or are those coming soon? The tools, the Visual Studio tools, do you know? Okay.
Sorry. Is, how do we find information on subscription service? Nobody's really talking about how. They're saying that it's there. Like, you can no longer, like, associate with the content.
So you want...
Okay.
So, for information on the subscription service, it will be like the other service. It'll be like the other service, essentially. MSDN documentation, all that stuff. Now, content types is a different story altogether.
Okay.
So, content types is the question, like, well, why can't I associate to a content type? So I'll give you a few answers to this. One is that content types are something that we realize are very important. We're working on, we're thinking about how we want to do content types the right way. But there's another thing to take into account, which is that with the new app model, the way you develop things are a little bit more focused on the app and the way the app interacts with SharePoint. And in those cases, those scenarios of having kind of like global content types that have the same behavior on all of them changes a little bit to being that you have apps that have the same behavior everywhere you use them. It's kind of a way you can think about how things pivot. Whereas you might have had content types as a way to drive this logic everywhere, but now you can think about how people create instances of the apps everywhere, and then the app handles doing the right thing for whatever list it is or whatever item it is. I agree. Content types, yes. So there's a lot more you can do with content types, right? Like they're entwined in everything. They're very core to what SharePoint does, and you can have content types on lists that are customized. You can have content types on sites, farm content. Like there are a lot of different kinds of content types. But what I'm saying is one of the ways you can think about it is, unless you really need that total global approach to a particular content type, apps go a really long way of getting you to doing the functionality you need. Now, for the last piece, which is, but I really, really, really want to do custom content types, workflow associations for content types. We're working on our side, we're working on the best way to kind of lead and demonstrate the potential of doing something like that without getting too... Yes, but I can't tell you right now exactly the way we do it, because it's plumbing that we didn't build for this release. And it's plumbing that we understand is very important, but we're also hesitant to encourage a lot of people to start coming up with their own unique ways to solve the problem that could potentially become in conflict in the future. So we're kind of stuck in this place where it's like, yeah, we understand the importance of content types, and we understand the content type associations and the value there, but I don't have a really great, aftermarket solution that I can give to someone right now that will solve everyone's problems. So that's something that we're kind of working on gradually, where we want to figure out the best way, kind of guidance to lead people in the direction where they can do things like this without necessarily trying to write all the code.
Around would be to make a reusable workflow and have a call a REST call to ask the item what content type it is.
Well, if you think about our classic content type associations, we really did have a lot of kind of like heavy code that ran in SharePoint that would basically, when you did one of those things, it couldn't even really leverage SharePoint. It had to say, oh, someone just updated a content type association. Let me start doing a crawl to find these so I can update these associations. It wasn't really, it seems like it's this elegant kind of detached solution, but it's really actually quite more heavyweight. And there's a lot of churn that goes on when you try to change one of those associations, which is exactly why when we looked at the problems this release, we didn't say, let's immediately solve that one. Because, again, when you think about the way apps are working and you think about SharePoint development and the progression, that notion of like content types, all this really heavy weight code that runs on the server that ripples out and does these crawls, we're really trying to find other ways to solve that. And in the future, one of the ways you can think about this is, how do we position our subscription service and the messaging infrastructure so that content types match, like subscriptions can match to a content type regardless of what site or list you're in. So that there's essentially, how do you make it so that there's the proper wildcard to identify that this event came from a content type and should trigger this workflow that's running in an arbitrary scope. But those are not right now, there's no solution right now for that. So we will provide some guidance. What I would say is, if apps don't work, if You can't make it work with apps if it's not the way that we're positioning it. In your case, it won't work. Then, well, we just released them. It's about how you think about it. That's all I would say. It's like we're all here at the conference to learn what 2013 is about, what the kind of philosophy and approach is. Obviously, we made a big shift. We think there's a lot of value in having these apps that you can put on the marketplace that are available to everyone, that run in SPO, that run on premises, all that stuff. Right? We want to have a good story and contentize to make it very tricky to do that in a global way. But what I would say is, per your earlier comment, one of the ways you could see doing this is that if you have, you know, using our OM, we give you the OM to do the things you need to do. If you have a special Notion, you build new UI for content type associations, you could build new UI for that. You could build your own logic that says if someone's updating this workflow, I'm going to go push it down to the places where it is. You could do those things. It's just that right now it's tricky for us to give really good guidance because the work to do pushdown is considerable. It's not. Oh, the item context contains the current content type. You can always identify. Sorry, I was continuing off her question to answer it. Yeah. So you can, for any item, for any running workflow, you can say, hey, what's the content? We still have the context property, so what was the URL to me? What is my, like, what is my content type? What's my type? Like, all that stuff still there.
Logic, their branching logic based on.
Yeah, you just say, like, well, what's my content type? And then we'll answer that for you. Ah, yes. So there's a reason why we have the interop service, and there's a reason why the service is running side by side. And that's basically because the XAML, the classic XAML model, and the 4.5 XAML model, there's no one-way model that gets you from one to the other. And there are a number of reasons why that's true from like a computer science perspective. But even if you just think about the classic way, like you look at all the solutions that exist today that have custom code, what would I even do to just make that work? Because that custom code action activity, it's obviously not going to run in Azure arbitrarily if it's running as a DLL on my box. So there was no simple way for us to just approach the problem and say, you know, let's solve this and build an entire new workflow host for SharePoint. So our approach in the 2013 release is to continue having side by side, to allow people to leverage interop in cases where they absolutely need to keep using those 2010 workflows. But we're really, really going to be pushing to just like, as you do future development and as you move forward, just do it on the new platform, just do it on the new platform. Like, it's going to be more flexible. It's going to open up a lot more scenarios like I discussed today. It's going to integrate way better with apps. And, you know, the 2010 stuff, we hope we can just kind of marginalize and to be a set of a few custom actions. I didn't talk about it. It was in Mauricio's talk, but like 2010, everything is exactly the same. It just keeps running. So on premises, totally the same.